Hello.
Hiya, is that Ryan?
Would depend on who's calling.
It's Francesca from INSL calling about your inquiry to the Scottish Redress Scheme.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, is now a good time to speak?
Yes, if I just put my telly on pause a wee second.
Yeah.
Yes, we're all available to chat.
Yeah, perfect. So I just need to take some details off you first for data protection.
Yeah,
sure. Would I be able to get your full name, please?
Ryan William Griffiths, but I never use the William, but it's...
Yes, that's okay. And your date of birth?
It's the 10th of the 9th, 1983.
Perfect. And your current address?
Is all the way up in the Shetland Isles. It is 11 Sand Blister. So imagine you're writing Sand Blister, but all one word and take the D out. So Sand Blister.
Sand Blister. Perfect.
Place. It's Sand Blister Place.
And would I be able to grab your postcode, please?
Yeah, it's ZE3.
Yeah.
9JX.
JX. Perfect.
Excuse me.
Is that Skatnesterki?
It's mental. I've got a runway just outside my house and
a
Viking settlement on the other side of my house. It's mental, like, you know.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Perfect. And would you be able to let me know the name of your parents, if that's okay?
Yeah. My parents was Elizabeth Griffiths, was my mum, and Michael Gough was my dad.
Is that G-O-U-G-H?
Correct, yes, absolutely.
Okay. And were you known by a different name whilst in care or prior to care at all?
No, exactly. The same name.
Perfect. And do you recall the address that you were in prior to being in care? So where you were born into or...?
The address that I left the house to go into care from was on Reed Street in Bridgeton in Glasgow, but I can't remember the number.
That's okay. It's just Glasgow. Reed Street, Bridgeton. Perfect. So it's just so in regards to... when we go to like getting any records and things like that, we need the local council to see if they have anything. And if you're registered with a GP at the moment, would I be able to take the name of the practice, if that's okay?
Yeah, Leavenwick. No, I couldn't tell you how to spell it.
L-E-V-E-N-W-I-C-K.
Leavenwick.
That's the one, and that is why I have a superb wife.
Have a look. Okay, so Leavenwick Health Centre, yeah?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, and in regards to contacting you, so it's usually via phone call, email and text message, are those all okay?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, perfect. And just let you know as well, so all calls are recorded for quality and training purposes, okay?
Yeah, not a problem.
And to confirm, the email I have on file for you is ryangriffiths1690@gmail.com, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Perfect. So, obviously, I appreciate discussing experiences connected to this application can be difficult and upsetting, so if any point during the phone call, if you need to take a break, or if you need any extra explanation or support, okay, just let me know.
Absolutely, no problem.
Yeah. And do you suffer from any communication difficulties or any vulnerabilities that you wish to make me aware of?
No, currently I'm waiting to be tested for complex PTSD and I'm suffering a bit with depression. It's not medicated.
But
I am going through, I'm working with Mind Your Head, you know, for that.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll give you the help then.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Yeah. So the purpose of today's call, so is to explain the Scottish Redress Scheme to you, go through your options, explain how INSL operates, we'll go through funding and fees, and then gather some information to assess whether and how we can assist you. So is that all okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
clarify. So the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse and care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. So it's important that you understand all of your options before deciding whether to instruct us.
Yeah.
So you're able to apply directly to the Scottish Redress Scheme by yourself without a solicitor, or you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fees Scheme. So they're paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application. So under the government scheme, so those solicitors can receive up to £2,000 plus the VAT from the government for assisting you, regardless of whether you're successful or not with the application.
Yeah.
So INS Law doesn't operate under the statutory scheme, so we don't claim government-funded fees. So if you decide to instruct us, you'd be choosing private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, and we would not be paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you.
Okay.
So at this stage, would I just be able to confirm that you've not instructed any other solicitors to act for you in relation? No?
No, this is the very first time I've even spoken about it.
No problem, that's okay. So with our agreement, so we operate on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if you're unsuccessful, you pay nothing. And if you withdraw your application on our advice, you pay nothing. So if you are successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees consist of basic charges based on time spent and a success fee. However, the total fees, they're capped at no more than 16% plus the VAT via redress payments. You'll never pay more than that agreed cap.
Yeah.
So just go, so it's a no-win, no-fee basis, and then it's capped. I think it works out something like 19.2% possibly after the VAT. So it's important as well that I make clear, so we can't guarantee that you will be successful or the level of award the scheme may award you. So they operate on a discretionary basis. So I can explain that in greater detail during the call. So do you have any questions so far?
No, I understand that, no problem at all.
Perfect. So if you decide to instruct us, what we assist with, so we go through your eligibility to apply to the scheme, we gather and review all the evidence, and then we prepare and submit your application. We do all the correspondence with the redress scheme, and then we advise on any offer made. We'll explain the statutory waiver if an award is offered to you, and then if you're unhappy with the outcome, we can assist with any reconsideration or review processes within the scheme as well.
Okay, that sounds fair.
Yeah, so with the statutory waiver, so if a redress offer is made, fully explain it before you decide whether to accept anything. So it's important because it can affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to the matters if you accept an award. So you're not expected to accept an offer without fully understanding the consequences.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So if you decide to proceed with this as well, so you also have a 14-day cancellation period after you sign the agreement. So you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. And if you choose, you can also authorise us to begin work immediately while your cancellation rights still remain. So would you be happy for us to do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, perfect. And also, just so we're able to formally act for you, we'll require proof of your identity for verification purposes and to comply with anti-money laundering regulations. So we'd need a photographic ID and then proof of address dated within 3 months of today's date. So do you have a driving licence or a passport?
Yeah, I've got a driving license. I'll get that emailed over to you.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you. Yeah, so I'll send an email in relation to it following this phone call, and then you can respond to that one then with the photos. That's perfect.
Perfection.
So just a couple more questions now on the application. So have you been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses?
No.
No? And with your application, you're able to add a beneficiary. So if anything was to happen to you, we'd be in contact with them. Is that something you'd like to do?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
My wife.
Yeah. So would I be able to take the full name, please?
Sally Marie Griffiths.
Is Marie IE?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, perfect. And her date of birth?
16th of 3rd, 1978. I'm getting great brownie points for remembering.
So now the next question is an email address or contact number.
It's Sally M. Griffiths, all one.
M. Griffiths, yeah.
And then it has numbers 1978@gmail.com, is it? Yep, it is.
Perfect. And is the address same as yours, yeah?
Yes.
Yep, perfect. Uh, a lot of them when I say it on their date of birth, and they go, ooh.
I know. I was talking about this the other day. We're 20 years married this year in September.
Oh, congratulations.
I was remembering the registry day when we went there and we had to answer the three questions, like what was our favourite colour, and I came out of there. I kid you not, I was soaking in sweat. I was a mastermind, like, you know.
I'm just, honestly, if I know all the information, but as soon as I'm asked it on the spot, I'm like, oh, I don't know.
yeah, you go into panic mode. You're like,
yeah. yeah, right, perfect. So just make sure I have everything here now. And a couple of impact factors. So have you received any relevant payments? So criminal injuries compensation, any court-ordered damages, any advance payment scheme payments, anything?
Nothing at all,
no. And do you have any criminal convictions?
I don't, no.
No, there, fair. Okay, so I think that's everything on there for now. So moving on now to the care settings.
Uh-huh.
So this part of the application, so it's the initial application that gets sent to redress to get your application like, approved and accepted. And then once they respond, then that's when we gather all the evidence and records. And then further down the line, we'll be in touch then to do a full detailed witness statement with you.
Yeah, no
so
problem.
This one is just a short but succinct statement just regarding your time in care.
Wow.
Is that okay for you to do today?
Yeah.
So before we do that, so would I be able to take the names of the care settings you were placed into with approximate with time frames or as much as you can remember?
Yeah, it's a long time ago now.
The
one that I can never forget is jails and school for boys in Beath. I can't remember. I came out
in Ayrshire. Is that the one in Ayrshire?
Yes.
You say you remember coming out of the.
Yeah, I can remember coming out in the millennium, but I can't remember. The exact year I went in, whether it was 90, I can't remember.
It's good. Just be approximate, okay?
I'm gonna say somewhere about 96. I think 96. I'm not 100% sure. I forget the exact date.
Yeah, that's okay. So we'll go 1996. So following this, it's our job then to get all of the exact dates and things like that, as long as we have like an estimate. And then are there any others?
There was one in the West End of Glasgow, but I forget what it was called. I couldn't even begin to remember what it was called. It was I couldn't remember.
Was it a children's home?
Yeah, it was only a small place, you know, like and then before I got put into the residential units and stuff.
So we've got Balmano House, Larch Grove.
Oh, wait a minute, that one sounds familiar.
So it's on Crow Road, Jordan Hill. Honestly,
I wish I could remember.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Where Great Western Road is, it was parallel to Great Western Road. It was like you took one of the side streets and it was a few streets up, so it wouldn't have been far from Great Western Road. But you're talking over 30 years ago, I can't.
Yeah, no, that's okay. yeah, so we've got Larch Grove Children's Home, which is on Crow Road, or Balmano House, which is Leave Dunn Road slash.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
As soon as you said Cleve, that I knew that. That's the one.
Got Balmano.
Oh, I nearly sat on the dog with excitement, man. I just panicked there when you said that. I was like, yeah, that was the one.
Yeah. And how old were you when you were there, roughly?
Oh,
a similar time frame.
Yeah, so what would that make me, about 16-ish? Somewhere around that, give or take, yeah. Again, I'm not the greatest with math, so I wouldn't be able to...
That's okay.
Around 15, 16.
Yeah, something like that.
Good.
I think they put me in there as a... placement until they could find somewhere, like, you know.
Is that the remand?
Yeah, kind of like that, yeah.
Yeah. So were there any others, or was it those two? And then
no, well, there was one here in Shetland, but it was nothing happened there. That was called Logue. I think it was just called Logue. So that would be spelled L-O-A-G. And it's in Lerwick, Shetland. I'm probably from straight up. And I don't even know if it's still there anymore.
I think it's the only home here.
Is that a residential?
Yeah, that was again a small setting just until they said to me when everything was sorted out, they said, oh, where do you want to go? Do you want to go back home? And I said, absolutely not. So
yeah.
Where did you go? And I said, my granny's in Glasgow, which was Reed Street, which I gave you earlier on. And then she took on well and I went into care voluntary. And then I just got fucked over for 4 years.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So was there a statement that you were wanting to add about that residential school?
Say that again, sorry?
Is there a statement that you'd want to add regarding that residential school, or was that one okay, did you say?
No, that one was absolutely fine with Lerwick, one that I just gave you, Logue. That's a lovely little place. Okay. Great.
So you've got Gilsland and Larchgrove,
Larchgrove, I can't really say there was anything bad in there. I mean, back then we could smoke and do whatever we liked. There was that kind of attitude in there, but nothing bad. It was Gilsland that was the bad one.
So in regards to the Larchgrove one, so obviously what you say you were only young when you were there and you were just allowed to just smoke and you were just treated kind of free will. So it's kind of like a way of like they didn't really like, I don't know what the word is. Not like neglect, but in a way of like you shouldn't have been allowed to do that in a way.
Yeah, like well, I remember one situation where a staff member wanted to go to a football match because he must have played on a weekend football or something like that. Yeah. I didn't want to go and I got practically dragged at the door, you know. It was like, I don't want to go. But obviously he had commitments. He was on shift and he probably was trying to kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah. Is that a lot of growth?
Yeah, that was the only thing that ever happened there. Other than that, you knew the staff were in the office. And they used to take in, like, you know, like your razor blades and things like that and keep them safe. And you used to have to go in and ask for them if you want a shave or whatever.
Yeah.
I remember an incident where my girlfriend at the time, Donna Christie, her name was, I don't know if that helped any, but she went down to the office and asked for a razor, one of mine, and then harmed herself with it. And then they absolutely read me the riot act over it, and yet it had absolutely nothing to do with me. They had my stuff in the office, which their responsibility is to keep that safe.
Yeah.
And that was the only incident that really bothered me about that. Because that poor girl hurt herself and had nothing to do with me.
And they punished you.
Yeah. I don't see how that would be my fault when she was getting out of dangerous equipment. I think their argument, if I remember rightly, was, you said she could have one. Well, right, okay, but now that I'm an adult, I'm looking at that situation going, well, okay, so I said that he could do this and you're going to let him.
Yeah, it's like that. If he told you to do this, would you do it?
Exactly.
And you were just allowed to smoke and drink?
We literally used to run off and get pissed in the local park and just, you know how it is with kids, and especially, I don't know, your town or where you grew up, but Glasgow was crazy back then. And, we just run about doing whatever we like. Quite often, some of the kids would, I assume, go away and leave back to their parents or something. I don't know, but they would come back absolutely rat-assed. And it was just carnage. I don't think there was much control there.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember them allowing me to go out with, like, what we in Glasgow, we had, like, glass bottles. And you used to be able to take them to the shop and get 20 pence back. And they let me shoot at 16 years old, a couple of bin bags of them to the ice cream van to get cigarettes. not the right thing to do, I suppose.
No. Yeah, they shouldn't have been encouraging that, should they?
No. I don't think you just didn't think of this shit, really. It did seem like you were in a clubhouse rather than somewhere official and scary, or some place you're supposed to behave yourself, like, you know.
Yeah. Just writing this up 2 seconds, sorry.
That's okay, I'm just trying to stop my dogs going wankers.
She said majority of the time they were okay. There was just a couple incidents.
Yeah.
And then just like the overall.
There was that guy, I remember him, he literally grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and he was like, you're coming, you're going. And of course, being young, I'm kicking off. I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. And from what I gathered when I got there watching him play, we just stood there watching him. And then he took us back again when he was finished and that was it.
Yeah. And then in regards to Jailsland then,
yeah.
What was your time there? She said that one was the worst one.
It began very weird. I had to, like, when I remember coming up there with the social worker and we walked, I can't even remember the social worker's name, but we walked into the building and it was like everyone was out standing there watching me and I had to walk past and I sort of shook everybody's hand, all the boys that were in there, and it was just very odd, and I remember thinking that was strange. I got put up into my little room in the flat, and I was sort of locked in there for a couple of days, being told that I couldn't come out because of the other lads wanting to get to me or something. But why they would want to do that, I don't know, because, you know, they wouldn't know anything about me, so why would they want to get me? I was locked in this room. I couldn't come out. I had to knock on the door to ask to go for a pee. And various different things for a couple of days. So, I was just basically stuck in my room. There was just so much. I mean, I used to wake up in the middle of the night with two staff members standing at the end of my bed in the dark, just watching me. And now, to this day, I can't sleep in a room without a light on.
Yeah.
They never touched me. It wasn't like that. It was just they used to stand in silence in the dark at the edge of my bed looking over me. One of them I can remember his name easily. His name was Tam Sellers. I saw Tam do quite a lot of bad things in there, to be fair, along with other staff members.
So is that the one that used to stand?
Yeah, him, and I don't know, because obviously it's dark, I don't know the other big fella used to come in and he used to stand there, and he'd just stand, and it looked to me like they were standing crossed arms just staring at me, and it used to freak me out. Obviously it would, but, you know.
She said you saw the other one do some horrible things.
Yeah, he lit a boy's hair on fire once. Because the boy had links and stuff like that, you know, on his head. I don't know why he did that, but he did it. And they were arguing. He had him pinned up against the wall. I've been pinned against the wall by Tam many times as well. Where he sort of grabs you, like kind of like if someone was robbing you, they grab you by the neck and sort of push you against the wall. That happened very regularly. And I'm almost certain that if my memory serves me, he was always smelling a booze, but
yeah.
I'm almost certain of it, but that was a long, long time ago.
So in regards to like the general care while you were there, so hygiene, food,
they would give us like if I remember rightly, it was £50 a month for toiletries. I don't know if that's right or not, but I'm sure that was what it was. And they would just take us to the shop, we'd buy our stuff, we'd go back, we showered ourselves, we did all that.
Yeah.
And we pretty much cooked ourselves as well. We had a cook there called Wilma, who recently passed, bless her heart. But yeah, she would cook through the week, and then at the weekends we'd be left to our own devices.
Yeah.
And I ran away, according to them, a record amount of times.
So was that true, or is that just what they said, or?
Well, I did run away a lot because in there at one point it got to the stage that certain staff members, because of the notoriety I had with the, I ended up building a good rapport with most of the lads in there,
that
they would ask me to beat other kids up.
Well, the staff or the other boys?
Tam Sellers, the staff member, would ask me to beat certain people up. Because obviously, as he would put it, we can't be seen to be putting our hands on them. And I would get favours like packets of cigarettes and things like that.
Yeah. How would you say, like, how you felt when you were there? If it's had any, like, lasting effects on you?
I'm a spiritualist now. I don't lift my hand at all. But that now is, I have, like, I don't know how to explain it. I have a hell of a temper now. And I'm so, I don't know how to explain it. Yeah, it's very difficult for me to explain. I don't know.
That's okay. Just say whatever feels right. And it's my job to try and...
In there terrified me. I felt absolutely lonely, and I couldn't, I didn't have anybody. None of my family sort of came to visit. And I remember on one occasion, my cousin was down in Aberdeen for university, and he thought he would come through and visit me, and he did. And they grilled me for 6 and a bit hours, convinced that he was a drug dealer. And there was no background for why he would be a drug dealer, if that makes sense. That was just, they pulled me in, they were just shouting and screaming at me. They were just horrible.
So it's like when you said that he used to get you to fight for you and things, so you would kind of like just treat it as
like a higher thug. Like, you know, he would take me into certain rooms in the building and that, or in my bedroom if it was at night time, and he would come and sit in my bed, and he'd just act cool, and he'd give me a cigarette, and he'd be like, yeah, cool, how are you? And I'd be like, yeah, fine. And I'd say, how's your day been? And he'd be like, oh, I tell you, so-and-so's annoyed me. In fact, I tell you what, see, if I give you a packet of fives, will you go down and give him a slap for me at some point, but wait until I'm off shift?
Yeah. It's just
a horrible, horrible piece of work.
Yeah. Okay. So in regards to that now, so I've written up the everything you showed me today, so it's like a statement.
Yeah.
So I'll get these sent over to you shortly. Is there anything else that you'd like to add or anything? So this is just the initial statement. So further down the line, once you do the witness statement, that one will be in more detail.
Yes.
So if there's anything that you felt like you missed out or anything, don't worry about that, because you can always add it in.
It definitely is. It's my child, she's a teenager in the room at the moment, so I'm just sort of skimming over it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's okay. And so following this now, so the next section now, so is to explain the two types of applications that can be pursued under the redress scheme. So there's the fixed payment of £10,000, and it's a fixed amount award regardless of the severity of abuse you suffered. Or there's the individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, which is decided by a closed panel dependent on the level of abuse you've suffered.
Yeah.
So based on previous awards made by the scheme and everything that you've shared with me today, I'd like to pursue the individually assessed one for you. Is that okay?
Yeah, fine. I'm not bothered. Yeah. I mean, I just think that the justice should be done for
The acknowledgement and the apology. And
yeah, I mean, obviously there's the personal value, but there's also that part of me that's kind of like, well, it doesn't matter about me as long as it gets justice for everybody else. You know,
yeah,
but
that's what this is about. It's about stopping it down the...
Yeah.
Yeah, stopping things like this happening.
Legislation and everything else. And
yeah.
And whatnot, so.
Yeah. So with that, so you won't be required to attend any meetings with the redress scheme in person or anything. So we'll provide the detailed witness statement on your behalf to the scheme and everything like that. So based on the information you provided today, so the next steps now would be for me to send over the contracts to you. So it'll contain the client care letter, the conditional fee agreement, and the letter of authority. And then there'll be a part one and part two, which will be everything that you've shared with myself today.
Okay.
So you're under no pressure or obligation to proceed. But if you'd like, I can send them to you. So I'm on the phone now, so I can stay on the phone with you if you had any questions while you were looking over them or anything like that.
Is at any point, if it becomes, because this is obviously not just for me, but everybody else, you know, it's a big thing to talk about. If at any point this becomes too much for me, is there any, do I have to, can I take the other option, or is that option gone once I start this option?
No, so in regards to that, so you can, what do you mean by the other option, sorry?
So you were saying that the fixed, there was a fixed payment or something, wasn't there, of $10,000 we'd go on with the individual, which is the one we want to do, of course. But I'm just saying that for my own peace of mind, is that possible, or is that something that once we start one direction, that's the only direction we go?
So with those ones, so we don't tend to pursue those ones just because obviously we know, like with the rewards given by the scheme and everything, it's always worth it to do the other one.
Yeah.
So if it does get too much for you, so at any point, so from this phone call now, you don't need to do anything other than if you're having to proceed, sign the contracts and send over the ID and things like that. And then we'll do everything for you. So all the records, everything, you don't need to think about it. It'd just be the witness statement, which we book in a date that only that you're ready to.
Yeah.
And if it gets to doing that witness statement, and if it gets too much, you can break it up or we can put it on pause. We can work around you if you're comfortable, as long as you're ready to proceed with everything.
Yeah. No, I'm absolutely intent on the direction that you spoke about and that you've advised me on and that you've given me all the information on. I'm actually intent on going that direction. I'm just making sure that so that I know, like, sort of where I stand, I suppose.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so we'll work at your pace.
Yeah.
At any point that you feel like it's too much, we can always put it on pause. Just
we'll
keep you in the loop as much as possible with how we're getting on with it, but other than that, just let us know and we can pause it or we can, whatever feels right for you, okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
What
so I've so I sent those contracts over now, so they should come through via email and text message.
Okay.
So it'll be a link that you have to click. So I can talk you through them if you want, just to, and then you can look at them in your own time or you can do them on the phone. It's completely your choice. It's just sometimes they can just be a bit fiddly, so I tend to just give some advice on them. Does anything come through at all?
No, I was just waiting for it to maybe go buzz, but I'll just check 1 second. Might take a minute where I am.
That's okay. That is what I'll do is...
Oh, no, hang on. I think this is it, yeah. Yes, I've got it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait, that's just the...
No.
Your reference. We're getting in touch with you about recent inquiry.
That's what I'll do. So I'll send them on WhatsApp at the moment. I think there might just be a queue on our emails at the moment. So I'll just send it to them there.
Yeah, that one. Perfect.
There we go.
There we are. Let's go. Please click like below to e-sign your document. Just going through it now. 1 second.
No problem.
Just having a quick scan. Make sure that I've given you the right details.
Yes, make sure I've spelled. I'm dyslexic, so just make sure I spell everything right.
I'm thicklexic. I think you've got it all bang on. I think you're good. Yeah, you're spot on.
Yeah, perfect.
click the bloody button.
Yeah. So I think there's just there's like a yellow box on the bottom of the screen that says field required, and when you click on that, it'll take you to each page then that has like the tap to sign box on it.
Yeah. Oh, tap to sign. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, do it then. Why are you not doing it? Ah, there we go.
It's a bit fiddly sometimes.
It is, man. And it, although it looks like my signature, it's so difficult to do that.
I know. No matter how many, I've got sausage hands as my partner calls them. So whenever I try and do it, it just looks awful every time.
I catch them feels, trust me. Do I just hit the submit signature then, yeah?
Yeah, and then the box on the bottom of the screen and that says fields required, when you click on that, it'll take you to all the pages that need a signature.
All right, okay.
And I think there's four possibly. And then when you scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page, once you've done that, then there's like a little tick box. And then the bluey purple box that says submit signatures should become like a darker colour.
Yeah.
And then that should then.
Get my finger to working in. Oh, I don't like that, does it? Oh, there we go. Two more required. Sorry it's taken so long.
Oh no, it's okay, don't apologise. It's I know it's fiddly.
At first it works and then it doesn't. And one more. Oh, come on. Okay, done. Submit.
Perfect.
Done.
Go. I'll double check now, see if they've pulled through. So did that like bluey purple box become darker?
Yeah, and I've got a page up on my screen that says signature completed.
Perfect.
With a whole load of forms underneath saying verify.
Yeah, so it'll just be like load in, making sure it's all pulled in. And then that should hopefully come through to me.
Be one of them things, I'll take forever, won't it?
Yeah, most likely.
Oh, why not?
Come on.
It's all right, no rush. Excuse me.
Sorry, 2 seconds. I think this might just be a problem on my end. I'll be back now, sorry.
That's all right, that's okay.
Hi, yeah, sorry. I think there's just there's like a queue to come on our system for them to come through to us. But if you've done that page, then that should all be okay. So hopefully,
yeah,
then
I've definitely got the page up that says everything's been signature completed. Thank you, Mr. Griffiths. And then it has LOAs and all that on there.
Yeah, no, that should be perfect. And it's just probably on our end. There's a bit of a queue for it to get back to us, but that's perfect. But thank you very much. I will let you know. I'll let you know when they pull through, okay? And then I'll get your application sent over to redress as quickly as possible, okay?
No problem. I appreciate it.
Perfect. So I'll send over the email as well regarding the address and the ID thing. But you can send those to our WhatsApp as well if that's easier for you.
Yeah.
Take photos on there. And then if you have any questions in the meantime, please feel free to call or email or WhatsApp, whatever's easiest for you.
Yeah.
And I will keep you updated as much as possible, okay?
Thank you very much.
That's perfect. But thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
No, I'm good.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.